I'm late. I had to stop by the Wax Museum again and give the finger to FDR.
We know Al-Qaeda, Zawahiri, is supporting the opposition in Syria. Are we supporting Al-Qaeda in Syria?
It's a proud day for America. And by God, we've kicked Vietnam Syndrome once and for all. Thank you very, very much.
I say it again, you've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked.
These witnesses are trying to simply deny things that just about everybody else accepts as fact.
He came, he saw, he died.
Well, we ain't killing they army, but we killing them. We be on CNN like, say our name, bitch, say it three times.
The meeting of the largest armies in the history of the world. Then there's going to be an invasion.
All right, so you guys, introducing Ali Demirdis. He is a professor of political science at the College of Charleston. And he wrote this article for the National Interest. Why Syria's Kurdish militia can't do what Washington wants. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Good, good, Scott. It's my pleasure to be on the show.
Very happy to have you here. And so this is about the YPG, the Kurdish militia from the northeast of Syria, who allied with the U.S. against the Islamic State and are now stuck between the Americans and the Syrian Arab army and the Syrian population and the Turkish army and all of these things. But so I guess let's cut right to the chase here. What is it that Washington wants from the YPG?
So that's a very good question. It's a long story, but the U.S., the bottom line is the U.S. wants to be relevant in the Middle Eastern theater, right? Therefore, they basically, the United States picked the YPG and propped them up, actually, in 2012 to be able to stay in the Middle East, in Syria, and continue to be relevant and conduct the policies there. That's what the U.S. Wants to do in Syria.
Yeah, well, in other words, Iran. It's all about Iran.
Yeah, well, so the official reason why the U.S. is propping up and nurturing and supporting the YPG is, this is the official line, we need to have a non-Arabic, a secular entity in Syria to prevent the Iranian influence from spreading into Syria, into the Levant. Therefore, basically, the YPG is going to act like a buffer between Iran and the proxies in Lebanon, in Syria, which is wrong in many levels. Yeah.
Right. So now here's the thing of it. The Americans have this base at Al-Tanf, which is right at the Syrian border with Jordan and Iraq. And now, but this is way outside of traditional Kurdish territory. And you do talk about local Arabs chafing under Kurdish rule, but is there really a cleansing campaign going on? Were they really trying to take this territory for themselves? So, and could it possibly stretch all the way down to this Al-Tanf base? They're going to rule this whole area down there? Or is that the plan?
That's the plan, but it is technically impossible for the YPG to rule one third of Syria. Before the civil war, and the YPG claims that it is Kurdish militia, and the Kurds made up of 7% of the Syrian population before 2011, before the civil war began. But the YPG now controls one third of the territory, which is predominantly Arab. There are Turkmens entities there. So it is very difficult and not feasible for the YPG to control that portion of the land when it is predominantly Arab. The YPG is not demographically compatible with the area. And I don't know how the American decision makers have come up with this idea that the YPG, which essentially is a Marxist extension of the Marxist PKK, to rule that part of the Syrian population. So it is it has a lot of problems.
Now, does that include Raqqa?
Yes. Yeah.
So Raqqa is right now under the rule of Kurdish militias as their major police force and all that?
Yeah. Raqqa is the crown jewel of the YPG. They take pride that they took the city from the ISIS, and therefore it is their God-given right to govern the city, which is actually more than 90% Arabic. So,
And now, I mean, they don't have the population to really transfer to take over the place or anything, really, do they?
No, not at all.
So are they crazy? I mean, the Americans put them up to this, or you're telling me that they really say, oh, yeah, no, since we kicked ISIS out, we get to own this city where we're not from and obviously not welcome from now on?
Yes, that's the plan. But what is missing?
I mean, it sounds like something that could be cooked up in D.C., but these guys would have to be crazy to bite off that much more than they can chew, right?
Exactly. We need to understand there is not one U.S. policy, or there is not one U.S. in Syria. Mm-hmm. Okay, the YPG is a Pentagon program, right? And within the Pentagon, there are two branches. There is the CENTCOM, the Central Command, and there is the EUCOM, the European Command Center. So these are basically vying for influence in Syria. Whereas the EUCOM has been supportive of the Turkish claims that these guys are not compatible here, they are going to create way more problems if they continue to stay there. Whereas the CENTCOM is adamantly propping them up, supporting the YPG, creating more friction on the ground. So,
hey, do you have a separate article that's all about that somewhere?
You mean about
this division inside the U.S. military, CENTCOM versus EUCOM here?
Honestly, yeah, I am planning to write about it, but I have read a couple of articles that define the division between not only within the Pentagon, actually between the president's office, between the White House, the State Department, and the Pentagon. There is not one U.S. in Syria right now. There's a
CIA too. Don't forget about them.
Oh, exactly. Thank you. Yeah. So they're vying for influence in Syria, and whoever wins this war of influence will determine the Syrian policy of the United States.
Man. So, all right. Well, I'm going to have to ask you for those footnotes later. You don't have to. I'm not putting you on the spot that you have to remember them right now. But if you could email me those links later, I would really appreciate to read about
that.
Because, that there's always some, famously, as the LA Times and others reported, you had outright battles between CIA-backed jihadists and DOD-backed YPG forces. But then all this stuff about EUCOM versus CENTCOM, I was unaware of that, detail there. So
it is very interesting to see how the factions within the Pentagon basically fighting each other to vie for influence in Syria. I'm going to send you the footnotes, definitely.
Great. Mattis was saying the other day, the former Secretary of Defense who resigned over Trump's claim, short-lived as it was, that he was going to withdraw military forces from Syria. I mean, Trump said at the time, well, ISIS is defeated. I mean, of course, there's still a few guys running around, but as far as the state, they're gone, so we can leave. And then everyone said at the time, there was no question about what they were talking about, that the enemy wasn't ISIS, the enemy was Iran. They wanted to stay because of Iran is now gaining power of influence because of America's attempt to limit their power and influence in Syria. And so now we have to stay further. But then just the other day, Mattis said, well, I resigned because I said you'll have to find another general to lose to ISIS, which is a great line, but that's not what he meant. We know that he knew that he personally and his men, his Marines, had just stomped the hell out of ISIS in Mosul and in Raqqa and all around that desert around there, whenever they were trying to kill him anyway.
Yeah.
And with the help of the YPG here, he didn't think that Trump was surrendering to ISIS. The policy is about staying because of Iran's increased influence, ISIS's enemies, the Iranian Shia.
Yeah. In my other article titled How America Fought Iran's War in the Middle East, I sent you the link.
Oh,
in the article,
Yeah, I can't wait. That's basically the theme of my book I'm working on. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So in that article, I explained, I tried to explain how, I mean, the official line is, the U.S. official line is, okay, Iran is supposed to be contained by any means necessary. They need to be contained. But when you go, when you look back in 30 years, American foreign policy in the Middle East, the U.S. did everything to help the Iranian influence from to grow in the Middle East. In my article, it's in the national interest too. Removing Saddam Hussein was the biggest, you know, in quotes, mistake. If you remove a Sunni dictator whose only goal is to prevent Iranians from spreading into the, his country, you are basically placating Iraq to the mullahs in a silver platter. And I don't understand why you want to remove Saddam Hussein, but then you want to contain Iran. It is just like it's incompatible.
Yeah. So. Well, and not only this, but I'll go ahead and say it because I like to. Barack Obama said to Jeffrey Goldberg, "That's right, Jeffrey Goldberg. Getting rid of Assad would be a great way to weaken Iran, since Assad is the last Middle Eastern state that's allied with Iran. So that's what we're doing right now." And then they had a little joke about, "Well, what are we doing? And I can tell you, but I'll have to kill you," kind of thing. And there it is in the Atlantic from the spring of, I think, March 2012. Certainly the spring of 2012. And there was no question that that was why they were backing the jihadists in the war and sending mercenaries from all around the Middle East, like it was 1980s Afghanistan, to go fight against Assad. They thought they were going to weaken Iran. And instead, all they did was, one, empower Iran and Hezbollah, and exactly, make Assad more dependent on them than ever before. And then they blew up their whole plan, blew up in their face into the size of the entire Islamic State in eastern Syria and western Iraq, which was way too big. And so then they had to go back to war for the Shia again in Iraq, if not in Syria, for the YPG in Syria, but in Iraq, certainly, for the same groups they wish they hadn't fought the last war for. So everything they do, and hell, I'll throw in Yemen too, they give the Houthis, every Houthi victory, they give Iran credit for it. They call it blame, but in the scheme of things, they're giving Iran credit for influence that they barely even have, and portraying Iran as the most powerful force in Southwest Arabia. And so all of this is all, at the very minimum, it's free PR for the Iranians. And it does help increase their influence, at least somewhat, this whole war has in Yemen. So, yeah, I mean, it just goes on and on. I don't know what we're going to do for them next.
Yeah, I mean, there's something wrong with this picture. You know, you are trying to contain Iran, but on the other hand, you're doing everything to help Iran. Eventually, those things help Iran. And I don't know how it is a containment policy. So,
you know what it is? Is they never really define it right. They never admit who's on whose side. And so that way they never really have to grapple with what they've done and what's next. You know, they say, well, we're fighting Islamic extremism. Well, that's more than a little vague. It's way too vague. You know,
like the global war on terror, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's not just enemies invisible. So you are basically chasing a ghost. Meanwhile, you're depleting your energy and resources.
Yeah.
So,
which ISIS, was the plan of the terrorists in the first place, was to give our government an excuse to deplete all our energy and resources.
Exactly. I watched your video on Afghanistan and how. Yeah? Oh, I love that video. I loved how you put it down, like what Osama bin Laden wanted was to draw the United States into a quagmire and let America bleed to death. This is exactly what Osama bin Laden wanted, and I liked your video about it.
Cool. Hey, thanks for saying so. I'll send you a book.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And another thing is, ISIS is fundamentally anti-Shiite, right? We need to understand who ISIS is. Where are they from? How did they end up in Iraq and in Syria? The ISIS is the ISIS was formed by the former generals of Saddam Hussein, who were purged by the debatification policies after 2003, and the current Shia government basically alienated them, excluded them from the government offices, etc. And they ended up forming ISIS to purge, to basically fight the Shia elements in the region. The biggest enemy of ISIS was not the United States, was not Turkey, was not Arab. The biggest enemy was the Shiites. So ISIS was essentially formed as an anti-Shia organization. So by removing ISIS, basically the United States helped Iran, Syria, Lebanon to stay in power still.
Hey guys, Scott here for Liberty Under Attack Publications. Looking for a liberty-focused publisher? Liberty Under Attack publishes books and strategy guides for individuals looking to increase their personal freedom. They assist authors through the entire publishing process, proofreading, editing, cover designs, paperback and Kindle formatting, and full audiobook narration and post-production. Tell them Scott sent you and get 20% off a full-service deal. To get some one-of-a-kind books or for more information, visit libertyunderattack.com. Hey guys, check out Listen and Think audiobooks. They're at listenandthink.com and, of course, on audible.com. And they feature my book, Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan, as well as brand new Out Inside Syria by our friend Reese Ehrlich, and a lot of other great books, mostly by libertarians there. Reese might be one exception, but essentially they're all libertarian audiobooks. And here's how you can get a lifetime subscription to Listen and Think audiobooks. Just donate $100 to the Scott Horton Show at scotthorton.org/donate. All right, now, so let's talk about the Turks, because the Turks, man, they hate the YPG, I think unreasonably. I mean, what do they think? The YPG is going to invade Turkey or something? But they're basically, the Americans are acting like, and maybe they really are, standing between the Kurds and an assault by the Turks against them.
Yeah. So, in order to understand the view of Turks of YPG, you need to understand who YPG are, right? The YPG is the Syrian branch of the PKK. It's the Kurdistan Workers' Party, which was established in 1970s on Marxist revolutionist base. And PKK is Turkey's main security threat in the region, okay? So I always liken the relationship between PKK and the YPG as the relationship between Walmart and Sam's Club, okay? They look separate, but essentially corporate-wise, they are one. They are part of the one organization.
Mm. Well, they're not really communists anymore, though, right? They're Bookchinists.
Well, I read a couple of articles about the Mao, the Maoist, practices of the YPG in northeast Syria.
Oh yeah.
Whereas they form communes, and they establish co-chairs of the communes, and therefore they basically want to create this localized sovereign administrative style, and it is exactly what Mao did in China back in 1960s. So they still carry the elements of this Marxism in the form of neo-Maoism. Oh, their flag is made up of red star, right?
At least they fancy themselves anarcho-communist types rather than Maoists or Stalinists, right? I mean, I'm not. Well, and it does make a difference. I mean, I don't know. Well, you tell me about their tortured death camps.
Yeah, they're actually they tend to oppress and torture people, the local population, anyone who opposed them. In my article, I mentioned the Arameans, the Christian Arameans. They don't want to be part of the YPG, and the YPG kidnapped the Aramean children, tortured them, and forcefully conscripted them to the military there. So they still have the elements of oppression and torture, intimidation, in Syria. So the YPG, what about the Turks and the YPG? You said the YPG is not going to invade Turkey. The YPG is not going to do anything to Turkey. How did you get this impression?
Well, I mean, I guess just they've been really busy lately. I could see the Turkish argument that they don't want PKK guys, you know, taking safe haven inside Syria and this kind of thing.
Exactly.
But it seems, well, and this is kind of the deal that I could have inserted in my ramble there, would have been something about how now that the Islamic State has been destroyed, the USA could just get out of the way, let the YPG go back to their previous deal with the Assad government, because they never really fought Assad the whole time during the Civil War. They broke off and had their autonomy after Assad withdrew his troops from their area, which was his lesser priority, obviously, than protecting the cities in the west of the country. And so, but now that virtually all of that is over, other than what's left in the Idlib province there, seems like they could just, and they've already been talking about this. I don't know why they won't just implement it. Go ahead and put the Syrian Arab Army back on the border between northeastern Syria and Turkey, and then tell the Turks, there, see, we're handling it. And then that's it.
Yeah, but that would legitimize the YPG, you know, so that's something that Turkey doesn't want. Turkey doesn't want YPG to be legitimized as an official entity within Syria.
Well,
let
me ask you this. Before the war broke out in 2011, they were essentially the rulers of semi-autonomous Kurdistan, weren't they? Or was there another faction there?
No, they were Kurds, but Assad had the full control of that part of Syria.
So it wasn't that autonomous at all, in other words?
No, not at all. The problem is YPG may seem like, okay, they are not attacking Turkey, they are okay, they are backing down, etc. ISIS was not attacking the United States, right? Did ISIS pose an immediate threat to the United States?
No, I mean, they were murdering Americans in the field out there.
Still, a couple of them. But still, the U.S. bombed the hell out of ISIS and destroyed ISIS. The U.S. did not want an ISIS entity in Syria. The same reason why Turkey doesn't want a YPG entity, PKK entity in Syria. Because in the long run, if you legitimize YPG, if you're okay with their existence in Syria, the PKK will spread into Syria, and Turkey will have basically a PKK state on its southern border, which is like the same as the U.S. agreeing to have a narco state along the Mexican border.
All right, now that totally makes sense. And yet, as we talked about, this is, of course, the direct consequence of America's support for the so-called rebel side in the war that resulted in the rise of the Islamic State so badly, where they conquered so much land. America had to ally with the Kurds and the Iraqi Shia in order to crush them again. But so here we are now in 2019, and the Kurds, of course, are, as you're describing, are much more powerful than ever before, including in territory held. And so, you know, something's got to give here, right? And the Americans feel like, what, if they pull out, that the Turks are just going to absolutely crush the YPG? Is that their excuse for staying? They couldn't talk Erdogan out of it? Or Assad couldn't talk them out of it either? Or Assad, I'm sorry, I'm asking too much rambling stuff, but
Assad
couldn't come to a reasonable deal with the Kurds that would satisfy Erdogan?
I don't think so. I mean, the YPG is the problem there, right? The Turks do not want a YPG to be legitimized in any ways, whether it is within the Syrian army or being a state or sovereign entity in Syria. That's a no-no. So there is no way the Turks would agree, for a YPG establishment within Syria in any ways. So it's the same way as, I mean, would the U.S. negotiate with ISIS? I mean, it's the same as saying Turks should negotiate with the YPG. So the ISIS is to the United States what YPG is to the Turks. Right
now, because that would mean sometimes useful, and I know you don't mean that. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Yeah. the problem is this PKK will establish its presence in the YPG, and it will create a kind of a state, a sovereign entity along the southern Turkey's southern border, which is going to cut Turkey's connection with the Arab world. Okay, this is unacceptable for Turkey. That's the reason why Turkey is doing everything to prevent a YPG state or the PKK state from establishing along the southern border.
Mm-hmm. Well, in other words, because the YPG is not just expanding to the south, they're expanding to the west, where they're going to even seal off that whole border area if they could.
Yeah, that's the reason why Turkey conducted two military incursions into Syria to cut the worst scenario for the Turks would have been for this YPG entity to originate from the Tigris River, from the Iraqi border, all the way to the Mediterranean, okay?
Yeah.
That would be a death sentence for the
On the other hand, they're perfectly happy to use Al-Qaeda shock troops to go after the Kurds in Afrin.
It's debatable. I mean, it is how you define the Al-Qaeda. The Free Syrian Army is Islamic, right? And the Free Syrian Army is an opposition group in Syria supported by Turkey.
Well, most the jihadists people, they use in Afrin committed war crimes and did suicide attacks and all that, right? So,
well,
were they Jaish al-Islam or Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, all those sort of guys?
In Syria, I mean, I would like for you to find an entity that hasn't committed a war crime.
Yeah, well, good point, too. But some of these guys, and some of them aren't, but some of them are sworn loyal to Ayman al-Zawahiri. And some of the others are best friends with them and share tow missiles.
In Syria, you don't expect the entities to act logically, okay, or act rationally. It's a cauldron, right? Syria is a different world. So the YPG has committed war crimes by uprooting the Arabs and raising the villages. It's been proven. It's been proven by the Amnesty International. The Assad regime has committed war crimes. Probably the Free Syrian Army have committed war crimes. So there is not an entity. The U.S. military, the Russian military have committed war crimes. So you can't show one organization or entity in Syria that hasn't committed a war crime. So it is what it is there.
Yeah, well, and then, but that also means then that this is who the Turks used against the PKK, which I guess if you're Turkish, then hey, that makes sense. But if you're an American, well, geez, I don't know. The Soviet Union's gone. What do I care about a bunch of commies somewhere? I'm not saying we should ally with them, but I certainly don't prefer Al-Qaeda to them.
Yeah. I mean, the U.S. used the jihadis in Afghanistan against the Soviet Union. So,
yeah, but they turned on America since then. So it's the same wrong thing, only now it's high treason, whereas before it was just really bad policy.
Yeah, and we need to distinguish between the Free Syrian Army, which is Islamic. It has Islamic factions within it, and Al-Qaeda. Right?
Nah, come on.
ISIS, and Al-Qaeda have attacked Turkey. The bombs went off in Ankara, in Istanbul, so Turkey suffered from the Al-Qaeda and ISIS presence. And the Operation Olive Branch and the Euphrates Shield cleared not only the YPG elements, but also some elements of Al-Qaeda and Al-Bab, for example.
Well, but they're all embedded together in Idlib province right now, so.
Exactly.
Get Idlib along just fine, apparently, and always have, so.
Idlib is a whole different story, you know. Idlib, there are jihadis from the Caucasus, the jihadis from the Central Asia, from the Chinese Uyghur region, Xinjiang region. Therefore, Russia doesn't want those entities, those jihadis from the Idlib area to go anywhere, because they will find their way to the Russian Caucasus region, and they will create a lot of problems.
Of course, I mean, what you just said is also why there's no point in differentiating between the so-called FSA and these Al-Qaeda guys, because it's the Al-Qaeda guys' side in the war. and the FSA is on it. They're just not, you know what I mean? They don't have any separate and independent power other than essentially as assistance to Al-Qaeda, which, as you're correctly describing, is made up of a bunch of foreign, you know, wannabe suicide kooks from around the world.
The FSA is a Turkish proxy with elements from Turkey, from other regions in the Middle East. So. Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm so over time here, but make sure I'm on your email list if you have one.
Absolutely.
And I really appreciate your time on the show today.
My pleasure, Scott.
All right, you guys. It's over at the National Interest. Why the Syria? I don't know why they wrote it like this. It's not his fault. It's the editor's fault. Why Syria's Kurdish militia can't do what Washington wants, by Ali Demirdas. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.
All right, y'all. Thanks. Find me at libertarianinstitute.org, at scotthorton.org, antiwar.com, and reddit.com/Scott Horton Show. Oh, yeah, and read my book, Fool's Errand, Timed and the War in Afghanistan, at foolserrand.us.